It's got a death curse.
Soon, all of you will be like me. And then who will lock you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Tonight's the night that we scare the shit out of Grimesy. Because when he wakes up, when he sees it, he's gonna have a heart attack.
He's gonna go crazy.
Someone being teased by teenagers and burned almost to death. Why would I like that? We don't know what he did. We're taking the words of teenage boys.
You ought to ease up on me, man. You're coming down on the wrong guy. He's the one that was caught looking at the girls in the shower. You ought to be coming down hard on him.
Full 80s Bush.
You do get to see titties in this. It's early 80s horror, yes. Gratuitous.
But don't worry, for the ladies, you get to see Jason Alexander's ass, so, you know.
Hey, Michelle! The canoes are gone!
What do you mean they're gone?
Oh my god, we're in danger! And they do the rational thing and send the majority of the people to safety. It's literally like, oh look, the front door. I'm gonna run out it.
And the canoe massacre is what makes this, like, that is the scene that made this film a nasty.
Remember, I told him about the guy at the window. The burnt face.
Somebody who was normal was fucked with, and now they've become this anomaly, and people are gonna pay the fucking price for it.
Listen to me, there is a killer out there.
Oh, come on, Michelle. Todd put you up to
God damn it, look at those kids!
Rick Wakeman of Yes does the score for this film. How much did that cost them?
Well, I'm thinking they couldn't afford Tangerine Dream.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean you're tired? We're doing all the work up here.
Shut up with stuff!
Hey, will you all please shut the fuck up and just keep paddling, hey?
After Friday the 13th came out in 1980, there were dozens, and I'm not exaggerating, there were dozens of films that tried to capitalize off of the killer is in the woods genre, and The Burning was one of the ones that did it fairly decently.
So don't look. He'll see you. Don't breathe. He'll hear you. Don't move. You're dead!
Hello, Horror 101 listeners. This is Cash Wampum presenting our 135th episode. And we hope you're feeling nasty today, because that's exactly what we're covering. A slasher gore piece from 1981 that was on the UK's video nasty list. This means if you were caught renting or selling this over there, you could be subjected to prosecution for obscenities.
Thuggy was an obscenity. The British Army nicely did it away with them.
Of all the films in the 80s that tried to copy the Friday the 13th formula with a brutal killer in the woods, this movie is one of the most noteworthy ones. It has an impressive synth score from Richard Wakeman of Yes, Tom Savini does the horror effects, and this was Bob and Harvey Weinstein's first film for their label Miramax. The now disgraced movie producers, who were just a few years ago titans of the industry, began their journey here. So we hope you sit back and relax as we give the Horror 101 treatment to Tony Malam's The Burning.
Ah, cult sensation!
Greetings with salutation!
Cult sensation,
he's got bottles as well!
Oh my god! Yeah.
How are you, sir? Welcome back. Love the shirt.
Thank you!
Love the shirt.
I don't get up, but I'm indisposed.
Well, we were discussing the loss of Treat Williams earlier this week.
What the fuck? Imagine living in 71 and going out like that.
Getting whacked on a motorcycle, eh? And that's the end for you.
And his last tweet was, it was some like, because apparently all he ever tweeted was like, you know, like how nice his life is. He lived up in Vermont or whatever. His last tweet was something about him mowing the lawn and how he loved the smell of the grass. He's got this massive acreage. It goes out like that.
So things were good for him, you know?
Apparently.
You know, he had a good life. But remember Dead Heat with him and Joe Piscopo?
Yep. Yeah.
And Darren McGavin?
Yeah.
And Vincent Price. I think Vincent Price has a small part in that film as well.
Very small,
but at
yeah.
the end, they resurrect him twice.
Yeah.
You want to ever see what happens when you resurrect a dead guy again? Not really. And he blows up. I just remember Treat Williams being in the back of that fucking ambulance, and it's like out of control, and he sees it heading towards, like, it's just gonna smash into this parked car. He's like, oh yeah, he's loving it because he knows he can't die. Mm-hmm. And then the next time you see him, he comes out of the body bag, and he's like, half of his face is just like melted off. And he's like, I need a cigarette.
And I didn't hear the answer. Did you end up watching The Evil Dead Rise?
Not yet, no.
Oh,
fuck, it's so good.
It's
surprisingly good.
Yeah. Even though the end kind of falls off.
You said
it
kind of like a Stephen King ending.
Time though, and I still, yeah, the ending's a bit whatever, but I don't like The Marauder. I will admit that.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. It really holds up.
And what was it Eugene said to me? He sent me a message a couple days. He's like, this, by far, this is your most wettest, squishiest podcast you've ever released.
Squishy.
I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of good grew in there.
Yeah.
Gotta get that ice clink on that.
I know, everybody's gonna be wondering what the clinking is. We're drinking the fine stuff today, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that is so smooth. Holy hell.
Top shelf thinking!
Huzzah!
So, the meat and potatoes of tonight, we're doing the burning.
We are doing the burning.
The burning.
Before we get into this,
you look puzzled. You don't know what the burning is, sir?
Oh, not burnt offering.
It's the burning.
I do.
The burning.
You know what? Have you seen the burning nude? You must have seen it at some point. Have you seen the burning?
Weren't we mocking this movie at some point?
Okay, the burning was 1981, and after Friday the 13th came out in 1980, there were dozens, and I'm not exaggerating, there were dozens of films that tried to capitalize off of the killer is in the woods genre, and The Burning was one of the ones that did it fairly decently.
Well, there's a reason why.
Well, The Burning was the reason that Tom Savini didn't come back to do the effects for Friday the 13th Part 2. The Burning was the first Miramax film. So Weinstein and his company, the first film they made for Miramax was The Burning. So they started off with horror.
Yes.
And they wrote Tom Savini a rather sizable check, enough that Paramount couldn't match it to do the effects for their horror film.
Hmm.
That's The Burning.
And there's three debuts in this film. Three people debuted.
Really?
Jason Alexander?
Mina
Sorvino?
No.
Isn't she in that?
No.
I thought she was.
Holly Hunter?
Fisher Stevens?
Fisher Stevens?
Yes. There you go.
But The Burning was somebody who's emulating Friday the 13th and actually did a decent job. It was like, okay, it started a wave of, okay, somebody who was wronged, by a group of people, and now everybody's going to pay for it. That was a common theme in the 80s. Like Return to Horror High and The Redeemer and Slaughter High and
Friday
Terror
the 13th
Train
itself.
Exactly. All those, Prom Night.
Yes.
All those movies were basically the same thing. Somebody who was normal was fucked with, and now they've become this anomaly, and people are going to pay the fucking price for it.
Yes.
This film was one of the first ones after Friday the 13th to start that trend.
I wouldn't say it emulated, though. I think the fact that Tom Savini did the makeup effects doesn't necessarily, because it makes, when you say emulate, it makes it sound like it's pale, kind of copy knockoff. It's not really.
Well, it's like, it
stands on its own legs.
Counselors getting killed at camp.
But everything comes from Halloween, right? Like Friday the 13th is a knockoff of Halloween.
Yeah, but I mean, Halloween is suburbia, where Friday the 13th is in the sticks.
That's literally the only difference in the films.
Yeah, well,
Sean Cunningham has said that himself.
Yeah, but Halloween, you see the guy going around doing all this murder. You know who it is from the beginning, whereas Friday the 13th is Hitchcockian. You don't know who the killer is until the end of the film. So I don't understand how everybody can say that Friday the 13th ripped off Halloween.
Well, I'll take what Sean Cunningham has said. I mean, he said it to me.
Well, I don't think he's giving himself enough credit. I don't think he's giving himself enough credit, to be honest. Because if you watch Halloween, you know who the killer is. You watch the killer doing his shit the entire time. You know, there's scenes in the movie where you don't know where he is, and when he makes his appearance known, it's spooky. But in Friday the 13th, you see the killer killing these people, but you only see hands and gore. You don't know who the killer is until the very end of the film. It's a completely different movie. It's a whodunit, as opposed to Halloween, where it's just the boogeyman.
The boogeyman is coming.
Leave me alone.
He doesn't believe us. Sure. Don't you know what happens on Halloween?
So, Nefarious Paul B's seen this. Oh. I've seen this a couple of times. The rest of you have not.
I think I may have.
You might have seen it.
This, I'll tell you right now, this would not be something you'd see on TV.
No.
This is not a channel. I think
this is a nasty. The Burning was a nasty.
This was a nasty.
Well, this is before censorship hit in the mid-80s, right?
It was.
Well, this is 81.
Yeah.
So this would have been still gore intact.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Tom Savini.
Yeah.
And it's Tom Savini at the height of Tom Savini. This is 3 years before he did
Day of the Dead. I'm surprised I haven't seen this. And I'm surprised I've never heard you talk about it before.
Because I'm not a huge fan of it.
Oh, okay.
The Savini effects are good, but I still say the best thing he ever did was Day of the Dead.
Okay.
Nothing compares to Day of the Dead. Like, it's beautiful.
Didn't he return for Friday the 13th Part 4?
Yes, he did. Yeah. That's why Tommy...
That was the best Jason death, period.
That's the best of the series.
Yeah.
Period. Best Jason death, best of the series, best characters...
But this was, like, of all the Friday the 13th clones out there, and a lot of them are, like, The Prey and Don't Go Into the Woods and Madman Mars, all of the, just, even though Horky likes Madman, just horrible fucking films. This one got it right. Yeah. This one got it right. So, let's, without further ado, let's watch this and we can discuss it.
Forward to midnight swims. Don't.
Let's sneak on back to the campsite. Get some matches. Build us a hot fire.
Don't be wrong.
And if you're thinking about being with someone where no one can see you, don't. Because this summer, a legend of terror isn't just a campfire story anymore.
They say he smashed his way through the bunk room door, just a mass of flames. Ride out! I will return! I will have my revenge! He lives on whatever he can catch. Right now, he's out there, watching, waiting.
Who's there?
What happened one summer 5 years ago is about to happen again, and again, and again. The Burning.
Tonight's a night. Cropsy is going to get what he deserves. Remember what he did to you, Snoop?
Yeah.
And when he beat up Jamie really bad for nothing? Billy says Cropsy's been getting away with this shit for years. If we pull this off, it'll be the biggest number Camp Blackfoot has ever seen. I want to find out who's in, okay?
We're off.
Jamie, you with us?
Right.
Snoop?
Yeah, I'm in.
Billy?
What are you kidding? I can't stand that creep.
What about you? As long as I get to see that motherfucker score. Don't worry. Tonight's the night that we scare the shit out of Grimesy. Because when he wakes up, when he sees it, he's gonna have a heart attack.
He's gonna go crazy. He's gonna go crazy.
Okay, Billy, let's see what you got.
5 years ago, you got a bunch of campers, young adolescents, who are on their way to pull a prank on a caretaker who's named Cropsy, who is apparently a piece of shit. Nobody likes this guy.
Newt never explained why, but nobody likes him.
He drinks too much.
Yeah.
He's an asshole. He, you know, nobody likes him. So he's just like a grade A, triple A dick.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, okay, so we're gonna get him by pulling this ridiculous prank on him by taking a real skull with maggots and putting.
Where'd they get it?
I don't know. That's a good question. But
But it shows off Savini's work right away.
Yeah.
You know,
you got the skull with the maggots on it with
all the dirt and everything added to it.
And candles in its eyes. Yeah. And they light the candles and it's like, okay.
Yep.
And then they go out and they knock on his door to wake him up and he's like, oh my God, there's a flaming skull candle thing next to my bed. What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to
light this up.
But he just happens to sleep in his cabin that has full gas canisters in it.
Yeah,
Brian Stewart was saying that. He's like, yeah, I sleep with the gas can next to my bed every night.
He heard me as soon as he walked in. I'm like, foreshadowing. And the next day, more foreshadowing.
Not this gas canisters. Full fucking
gas. But also, like, hanging oil lamps. Yep. The entire place is like, this is flammable. This is flammable.
His bedroom has been fucking kindling at that point. Like, really, like.
Yeah.
By the time he gets out the door, he is an inferno. And screaming. And all the kids are like, just watching this happen. And then he rolls down the hill into the water.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that probably sucked.
Now, I'm wondering how many takes that took, because it was a long burn. And also, we all know, industry-wise, the moment they hit the ground, that's when they have to yell cut so they can put them out.
Yes.
That's usually the telltale sign. Right?
Yes.
He does not do that for a very long time.
Well,
I was looking for a cut there somewhere.
There were cuts.
There were cuts.
Yeah.
And the last one, he dropped and rolled down the hill into water, so obviously. Yeah,
so they obviously planned it out, because there's only so many seconds you can do in pyrogel before it gets to a certain temperature.
But I mean, total distance from cabin door to the lake, that's a long burn.
Counted a few cuts, so it absolutely is impressive because they did it multiple fucking times. They did not exceed the safety number.
No, but the editing was fairly well done there. Like, I was watching for it. It wasn't obvious.
Mm. And then, like, a week later, he's in the hospital, so obviously somebody fishes him out. He doesn't die, but he's damaged.
Hey, listen, you got a minute?
No,
I want to show you something down the hall. After you see this guy, you'll never want to come back in here again. Man, this guy's burned so bad, he's cooked a fucking Big Mac. Overdone. You know what I mean? It's a miracle he's still alive. Was me, I prefer to be dead. No way I'd want to be like this freak. He's a monster, man.
And that
the orderly is like,
yeah, you want to be a doctor? Come check this guy out, because he's fucked up. Come check. I've never seen anything this bad.
The 700-year-old fucking doctor who's just starting his career.
He's like, come check this guy out.
Do you think he was one of the producers? Because if you wanted to get a young doctor in training, why would you get the middle-aged guy who's pushing 60? And like, what the hell? It just seems so weird.
Come on. Take a look.
And he grabs him and scares the hell out of him.
Oh, he does like the Italian Spider-Man reaction. But yeah, that one theme, I'm just like, that is the Castlevania 4 theme.
And you can thank Rick Wakeman.
Yeah. Thank you, Rick Wakeman.
Rick Wakeman. Of all the things, Rick Wakeman of Yes does the score for this film. How much did that cost them?
Well, I'm thinking they couldn't afford Tangerine Dream.
Which what are you talking about?
or Vangelis. Hey, remember the game Homeworld?
Oh.
Yeah, they had... The soundtrack to that was done by Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
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 Yes! Hear it!
No way.
It's been a long struggle, but now that you've regained your strength, it's time for you to leave.
Considering how badly you were burned, you're lucky to be alive.
The first few months outside will be the hardest.
We're sorry. The skin grafts just didn't take.
There's nothing more we can do for at least 6 months.
I know you still resent those kids, but try not to blame anyone for what happened. It was an accident. Purely an accident.
You've got to forget your hatred. Control your feelings for revenge.
Anger and resentment won't bring back the past. You know that.
You may find it difficult at first to adjust to a normal life again. But with time, you will.
What I laughed at was right after that, where they're releasing him from the hospital.
Yeah.
The skin grafts haven't taken, so get the fuck out!
Yep, sorry, everything turned out bad for you.
We've done all that we can do.
This is like, a dude with open wounds.
Watch your emotions.
Yeah.
I know you still resent the kids that pulled the prank on you, but try not to blame them for this. It was just an accident. It's like, yeah, whatever.
And then I'm just thinking, man, I don't remember Darkman being this weird.
And immediately, the guy's walking with the hat. He's walking up
Times Square.
Times Square would actually have personality, and it wasn't fucking Disney.
Before it was like Disney 25-cent peep shows all up and down the shit, Marquees, right?
Thanks, Giuliani.
Exactly. Marquees with three fucking porno titles on it.
He grabs the 50-year-old hooker there.
Like the low-key lighting, huh? That's all right with me.
She's like, oh, you want to turn the lights off?
The worst acting in a film full of bad acting was that hooker.
Yeah.
So, one thing I when the lightning flashed, and she, oh my God, just go just away. And that, like, her demeanor doesn't change at all after he starts strangling her. No, it's like, just go away. Passion.
Please, God. No, get away. Get away from me, please.
Just stabbed in the stomach.
That's right. You know what? I was waiting for the we got that in Friday the 13th Part 4, but we only got the stab in this one and then the gore on the mirror.
Yeah, that was about coming up. And I thought you were going to see, because it's Savini, so I thought you were going to be coming up and then you thought you were going to see guts.
I thought
he didn't really do that. Well, he did that in Dawn, so I guess he knew how to do it.
Well, he did Maniac before this, and Maniac had a lot of that shit.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. So... maybe it was a budgetary thing.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Look at that ass. You see that?
Oh, yeah.
I want it. I mean, you don't got to wrap it. You don't got to send it. Take it home now, as is.
You're crazy, man. That's a no sale.
Hey, that's mine by divine right.
Hey, divineness, that's prime meat. You ain't buying it.
They really give you a sense of camping, you know? Like, you get introduced to all these different campers. Glazer, which is like the blonde Fonzie fucking dink of the guys there.
What did I say? Seconds. No, what did I say? Safeway Spicoli?
Yes.
Safeway Spicoli. And Jason Alexander with hair. Yeah. Come on, Seinfeld fans, you got to watch this movie just once just to see a young Jason Alexander with full fucking hair.
Traveling secretary.
Yes.
It's the summer of George.
Tell you, Jerry. Yeah, that's what I said. It's the summer of George.
How do you do, boys? How are you doing? Whoa. He's under. He's up. He's in there. All right. Who ordered the Playboy?
Over here.
Dave, did you get my hustler?
Hustler, what do you want with Hustler, Woodstock? You're too small.
Hey, size never stopped, Woody. That's the world bantamweight jerk-off champ over there, huh? Just stick with me, kid. Keep flexing the muscle, huh?
And I get procuring cigarettes at, 12, 13, 14, whatever, it's fine.
No.
But at camp smoking? I don't think I've ever heard of any camp allowing children to smoke.
Well, they also had pornography and condoms. It was all under the table.
Right? And some of them were like 13, 14, 15, right? At least that's what I was projecting.
Jason Alexander was...
I went to church events and smoked with the priests out back. It was a different fucking time.
Yeah.
How Jason Alexander got all this stuff were never shown, but he's kind of the Morgan Freeman of the camp there. He can get you whatever you need.
But fucking dude walks up with a Playboy, which is one thing, because everybody knows a person who knew how to play. Fucking penthouse.
A hustler.
A hustler. That is full fucking
That's
like...
Larry Flint hardcore shit.
Yeah. Oh, God bless her mom and dad. Mm-hmm. You guys are a real bunch of wimps, you know that? Looking at girly magazines. You guys make me sick. You ought to try the real thing sometimes, man. Let me tell you that.
Ooh, we make you sick, do we, huh, Glazer? Well, then you won't mind paying the new market price for a bag of rubbers. $5.
Okay. You get me what I asked for?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Absolutely, huh? Absolutely shit, man.
It's like some of the kids seem like they're too old to be going to camp.
There's a lot of fucking kids in this camp. Like, when you see the mess hall...
And most of them are younger, right? But we're focusing on the older group.
They were counselors or something.
Well, no. Well, again, you've got Todd and the other girl who are the lead... they're the counselors, but you've got a range of different ages of... we're dealing with all the, like, the teenagers.
Really weird.
But it, like you said, when you get to the mess hall, you see the teenagers, which are the main cast that we watch through.
Yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of, like, 10-year-olds and 8-year-olds and 7-year-olds. Yeah,
fucking army mess.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch.
A lot of kids.
But obviously, the kids that are going to be getting into the trouble are the adolescents who are coming into age, and they've got attractions to the opposite sex, and, you know, it's
rolled up to smoke, need condoms, and...
Hey, girls.
Hello,
Sally. So how you doing, huh? Okay. You're just doing okay. Good. Hey, what do you say you and me go for a ride tomorrow in my canoe, huh?
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe? Hey, what's the matter? You don't trust me?
And at dinner, when they go to dinner, and Glazer's still trying to get with Sally, and you know she's into him. You can tell she's into him, but everybody's giggling. All the girls are giggling.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, maybe, kind of, with the smirk on her face. Obviously, she's into him, right? Playing hard to get, right, Noon? That's how the chicks do it? Is that how it is? Maybe means yes, right, Cants?
No means no, though.
Yeah, but maybe means yes. Is that right?
No means no unless you're in a fucking
no.
Rising film.
The saying goes, no means yes, and yes means butt stuff.
So, that's better. Okay, I just want to say a couple of things about the overnights. Some of you older ones are leaving tomorrow for a 3-day canoe trip to Devil's Creek. I know you can all look after yourselves pretty good. But just remember, it's a long way from home.
My favorite is the telling of the tale when he's telling the tale of Cropsey.
The first
around,
time, not the stupid, ridiculous.
No, not at the end. Not at the end. I'm talking about during the film where they're talking about Cropsey and it was 5 years ago and he was burned.
Okay, you talk about.
They never found his body. They never found his body. Blah blah blah, and it's all this.
But this time he chose the wrong guy because the kid and some of his buddies had planned a little prank that would scare the living shit out of Cropsey. Only problem was, the gag went wrong. The next thing anyone knows, Cropsey's trapped alive and burning in his bunk. They try to get him out, but the fire's so fierce they can't reach him. All they can do is stand outside and listen to him cry out in agony. They say he smashed his way through the bunk room door, just a mass of flames. And as he screamed out, burned alive, he cried out, "I will return! I will have my revenge!"
I do take issue with their telling of the tale on this one, and it was something that rubbed me the wrong way. We don't find out until the end of the movie that he was one of the original camp counselors who was involved, or one of the kids involved in tormenting the caretaker. Would you retell that story, because knowing that you were responsible for that man's actual suffering and death, would you just tell that as a joke to a group of kids? You wouldn't have an ounce of sympathy or guilt. Like, you would just retell that story?
Only if I had a banjo.
Like,
if it was a ditty, totally different story. Let me tell you this time about when
it only makes sense.
Somebody.
Him telling that tale only makes sense if he had nothing to do with the original act. Because the fact that he was involved, it utterly makes no sense that he would retell that tale in such a flippant manner as a joke to a group of new kids. Like, he feels no sympathy, no guilt for what he did.
Todd's a sociopath.
Yes.
And deserves whatever he gets.
He deserves death.
But, don't look. Move. He'll hear you. Don't breathe. You're dead!
And sure enough, one of the older kids scares everybody with a get-up, with a mask.
Which actually looked better than the real Cropsey.
It did look pretty good.
But, you know, that was my favorite part, other than the massacre.
The whole reason he's a killer is because of his childish prank, and he feels nothing for it? He's just going to play it off like a joke.
This is chalking up the white privilege, really.
Again, my point, maybe these kids were dicks at the beginning, and that guy didn't deserve it.
So we just might as well call this the aftermath of White Privilege, the movie.
I don't know, but the telling of the tale doesn't make much sense.
Right? I know, not really.
I can't figure you out. No?
I mean, first you tell me you like me, and then 10 seconds later you're looking off here, you're looking off there like you don't even know who I am.
I do like you, Eddie. But...
For what?
You're always talking about how many women you've had. I don't want to be just another statistic.
Oh, Karen, knock it off, will you? Come on, if two people like each other, if they want each other, so you do it. Now, what's wrong with that? Now, we like each other, right? And we're alone. Now, you can't blame me for trying, can you? Come on, what do you say?
Maybe.
Maybe. All right, let's take a swim.
What? Now? I haven't got a swimsuit.
So who needs a bathing suit? Who's going to see you here?
So Eddie, he finally gets his girlfriend out for a skinny dip. We're like, okay, what's going on here? You know, and...
Full 80s bush.
You do get to see titties in this. It's early 80s horror, yes. Gratuitous.
But don't worry, for the ladies, shot. You get to see Jason Alexander's ass. So, you know, there you go.
I guess that's a good trade-off, maybe. I don't know.
Hey, Jerry!
I was
shrinking!
Cut out.
Why'd you come out here, then?
You come!
Get the fuck out of my face.
So he gets her out in the water, and, you know, he goes for kisses, and she's resisting him. She's like, what the fuck did you come out here for? You know,
what
you
the fuck
knew what
you
I
going in the middle of the fucking lake, skinny dipping, and not think this guy's going to fucking try to get
like,
in?
Like, what did you think this was? A patty cake session? Anyway, she goes back. He gets pissed off.
Hold on.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Newt. Give me your... Go ahead.
So,
what do you think?
Okay, if she may want him... Okay, she's not going to get her clothes... all drenched, she'll swim with him.
Yes.
If she says she doesn't want to fuck him, she doesn't have to fuck him. Yeah. Just because she's in the water naked doesn't mean it's gonna happen.
Yeah, but he was going for kisses.
Okay, yeah, kissing, that's it. But if she was touching, he obviously was touching her and asking for more.
Yeah,
she asked him to slow down.
It was implied he was going for more. He was reaching for something under the water there.
So he overreached his position.
Yeah.
Okay, and it got pissed off when she wasn't acquiescing. It's like, get the fuck out of here. The guy's an asshole. It's like, okay, well, if you're not going to acquiesce and give me what I want, get the fuck out of here. So she goes back to shore.
But you're blaming her.
I'm not blaming her for anything.
You said, why did she go in there knowing what he wanted?
If we're going in fucking circles on this one. But the only thing I'm blaming her for is getting back to shore and realizing that somebody had fucked with her clothes and her not saying, hey, buddy. Somebody's fucking with our clothes. Somebody's here. Like, wouldn't you, like...
Yeah, you're like, hey...
The only person that's there is, like, wouldn't you say, like, yeah, somebody's out here with us and fucking with our clothes. You don't want to give him a heads up?
Hey, man, I think there's ghosts.
How the fuck can he be in on it? He was in the water first. First kill in 50 minutes.
Yeah, and you didn't really see it either.
Yeah, well, you see the throat slash.
Yes.
And then the ebbing down
but
the front of
it. But then
it
cuts away, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a few deaths in this film that are fairly graphic. I thought it was worse, though. I thought it was worse.
I remember being, because this was on video nasty lists, and I remember being far worse. And this is really...
Is there an unedited version?
Yeah, I've seen this a couple of times, Ryan, and I remember, like, I don't remember missing anything. No, like, no. Every version I've seen of this film, and this is a Blu-ray rip, so all the gore is there. Yeah, it's just...
I don't know why this one was so censored, because this is kind of before they really started hitting the censor.
So where is she, Eddie? Huh? Come on. Hey, what the hell is this? Some sort of interrogation here?
Don't give me that. Where is she?
All right, I must have come on a little strong, okay? Came down here, went swimming, and I don't know. Look, what did she do?
She didn't do anything. She called me a few names, swam back to shore, and I figured she went back with everyone else.
You jerk. Michelle! Hey, Michelle! The canoes are gone! What do you mean they're gone? They're gone. They're not here. Karen.
Why would she take the canoes?
She might have let them go accidentally.
Why?
Because the supervisor gave her permission to go back to camp if things got too heavy.
All the canoes are gone. Now we're stranded on this island or whatever.
And you never find where they all are except for the one.
The one, yes. Yeah, like, okay, well, now they're screwed. They can't get back to the main camp, right? It's where they build a raft. It's like, okay, well.
Okay, now here's a question.
Makeshift raft.
They build a raft. Where do they get the tools to build a raft?
Twine and boards. Twine. You know,
no, you can see they got tree branches. So where do they get the... where'd they get the...
Well, they had their gear on shore. They only had the boats on shore. They brought everything, because they were camping on the shore, so they brought everything with them. Chopped axes for firewood. They would have brought knives.
Yeah, he had a big axe at the end of the film.
Yeah. So, I remember him fucking running with it, fucking blade facing this...
We'll get there.
I'm tired. What do you mean you're tired? We're doing all the work up here.
Shut up, Woodstock!
Hey, will you all please shut the fuck up and just keep paddling, okay?
All right.
Oh. Hey, you guys, look over there!
What?
It's one of our canoes! It is ours!
No, it isn't.
It is too good to be!
Who else would be stupid enough
to lose their minds?
And the canoe massacre is what makes this, that is the scene that made this film a nasty.
Yeah, oh, yo, no, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's no question about that, yeah.
Come on, man. The canoe scene, the canoe massacre is the crown jewel of this film.
Have you ever tried standing in a canoe to swing at somebody 3 feet away? There's no way he stays balanced on the boat and he doesn't have, you know, ass over tea kettle into the water. Not only that, but there are people at the back of that raft are being attacked. How the fuck did he get there without tipping the raft or upsetting things? Like, it's all done in close up. It's all done right in your face, because, and then with very close sheer action. But you never see him reach. There's no medium shot there, nope. Because it would be utterly impossible.
Mr. Stevens getting his fingers cut off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although the hand did look a little bit rubbery.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Ed Eisenberg there getting it right through the chest. And yeah. If you look, you can see it's just his head through a board.
Yeah, and even that, I kept thinking, okay, this is the same guy that did Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
But Kevin Bacon looked amazing.
No, it didn't.
The coloring was off.
If I had to pick a favorite scene, it wasn't just the massacre, and it's the one, it's funny, because it's the one you guys just pissed all over.
What?
It was the blood
dripping down the arm at the end of the massacre.
I said it looked good.
I thought it was good, and I think it's because the water was in the water, and it watered it down. I thought it was done well.
When the blood hits the water, they do that red wash.
Yes.
The screen, which is really nice. Yeah. I thought it was a nice little touch.
Which reminds me of the end of Wes Craven's... Hills Have Eyes. That's goes to red, right? That's the end of the film.
Shit.
That's all. Is it?
I'm sorry, Sally. I don't know what happened.
It's okay.
It'll be better next time, baby. Trust me.
Trust me, baby.
Sally, you cold, huh?
Yes. You didn't do too much to warm me up.
Glazer and Sally.
Yeah.
And with his three-second love there, she's putting this guy off the whole movie. Finally acquiesces, and then she's like, "Is that it?" I'm like, "Oh, Glazer."
Two pump dump.
It's like, don't go away. I'm going to get some fire or some shit. I'm going to get some matches to make a fire.
Going to get some matches, yeah.
I felt most sorry for her. She had the disappointing sex.
Yeah.
Her pleading was on par. Holy hell, when she was begging for her life, I bought it. I thought,
That I liked, but like everything else after that, I was just like, the fuck.
Yeah, I thought she probably gave the best performance facing the killer. That was a genuine fear. I liked it.
A little tiny blonde girl can hold him off for an extended period of time, but meanwhile he's capable of picking up a full-grown dude and pinning him to a fucking tree.
That's a great shot, actually.
Yeah.
Because the camera is mounted to something and following all the way back to that tree.
Yeah.
And then you see the actual spikes get embedded into the tree.
So he's obviously wearing a plate, right, that sticks to his back
with
the blade on the outside.
Which gives you, and it sells that this is a real weapon.
Plus, he was a piece of shit, and he couldn't fucking hold his load for anything longer than 3 seconds.
I know, it was all so this.
Fuck him.
You should try the real thing. Yeah. Oh,
too fucked up.
Oh, he ain't no Warren Beatty.
Glazer's dead.
What the fuck are you talking about?
No, really. I saw him. I saw him kill Glazer.
You're going to wake everybody up, huh?
The same guy at the window. That I saw at the window. Remember, I told him about the guy at the window. The burnt face. The burnt face. He's dead. I'm telling you, I saw him.
Would you be quiet? I'll go with you, all right? Okay?
Who directed this?
Tony Mylam. Mylam. He's a BAFTA-nominated English director. Directed documentaries White Rock, Riddle of the Sand, and horror films as The Burning and Split Second.
Split Second?
Oh.
With Rutger Hauer?
Yes.
I like that film.
Oh, Kim Cattrall?
Yeah, it was great. That movie was fucking great. Fuck you, Paul B. You didn't like that with UK flooded in like 2009, global warming? That was a great film. Rutger Hauer all the way.
He's not directed anything since 2008.
Oh.
Oh my God.
I love all the tracking shots in this. Those beautiful Steadicam shots. I want to take those out and put them in a better movie. Like, I had Last of the Mohicans in the back of my head every time. The only thing I could think was, as somebody who's done a lot of camping and a lot of hiking, running full tilt, there's no way, and those were not marked trails, right? Those were all uneven ground. I'm like, holy hell, those guys were sprinting for quite a while. As somebody who's had ankle trauma more times than I can count.
As somebody who is an avid camper and used to do trail running, the amount of times that I've eaten shit on a backwoods trail.
I kept waiting for a trip and fall that never came.
Is Alfred there?
Hey, there's Todd.
Where?
Hey, Todd!
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 We're at the raft, and then, the next day, the raft comes back with all the bodies on it.
Not all of the bodies.
Well, we know Fisher Stevens is on
some
it.
Some of the bodies.
Just get back to camp and get me some help. That's all I want you to do. Just get me some help. All right, come on. Come on.
Oh my God, we're in danger. And they do the rational thing and send the majority of the people to safety on a raft.
Whereas a couple of characters stick around to deal with the situation.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck, logic, shit, I can't fault. It's literally like, oh look, the front door, I'm gonna run out it.
Because Alfred, we know Alfred is running, and it almost looks like an old World War II bunker that's like half uncovered.
It's probably a mill.
That they find in the middle of it.
It was supposed to be that originally.
It's some sort of a
mine.
Well, they had a mine, mine carts there, and everybody was talking about Temple of Doom.
So, yeah.
Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong, right?
Donkey Kong!
It's the Donkey Kong.
I saw the barrel, and I was like,
I started shaking when Nude was talking about that. I'm like, oh,
we have Donkey the Kong old barrels. Horror movie chestnut where the hero is running full tilt as fast as he can, and the injured
somehow
older
the murderer gets in front of him at a walking pace.
Constantly in front of him the entire way, watching him run towards him. I'm like, how did you get there? He's just teleporting through the woods.
Alfred gets accosted by the and instead of the guy killing him, he just like pegs him with the shears by just pegging his arm against the wall with the shears. So he's sitting there in pain
and bonds
bleeding.
His mouth.
And does he bind him?
Yeah. Hey, wait, ties
does
his mouth
he?
Up.
Okay. Bro. And then but now you've got Todd, the counselor there with the axe, you know, walking around with the axe blade facing his own face.
And fucking falls down twice with the axe facing towards.
But it was like they shot it twice. We were like, did we just go into a circle?
Well, because the stupid minecar that the killer tries to smush him with is back up at the top of the ramp again.
And, well, not just
I don't
that.
I think they filmed it twice. I think they just reused it as a shot.
Yeah. Well, they must have, because it looked like he comes around, and then there's a close-up, and then it was the minecart shit, and the minecart comes down, always squishes him, and then you see Cropsy with
the flamethrower, the makeshift flamethrower, coming through, and he's trying to get a good look at it, and then all of a sudden the flame is gone, Cropsy's gone, and the guy's like, where'd he go? And he's walking around like nothing fucking happened.
And then all of a sudden,
and it's the same footage. I'm like, what is happening
they
here?
They even show the shot of the minecart back on top of the ramp again.
What's happening here? Like, who's editing this film? Where's the continuity?
According to Wiki, that was supposed to be a boathouse. For whatever reason, they changed it to a mine. I don't know why, because a mine doesn't make any sense to anything else in the story. But
especially since...
So, and the screams of agony from Alfred, which were drowned out for reasons, all of a sudden just after
that... drowned out? He was completely fucking quiet!
After the fucking glitch in the Matrix that allowed us to watch that scene twice in a row, all of a sudden he can hear Buddy in trouble. He goes to that situation, and here's Cropsy, and here's the first time where we see the killer in glorious fucking burnt-up faction, right?
A flamethrower... Why?
He likes flame. He likes fire for some reason.
I know, right? Like, I'm a burn victim who loves fire.
Well, I mean,
complicated.
Even Kane Hodder did a fucking. Even Kane Hodder did a burn stunt after his ordeal.
The longest one in history.
Yeah. So, but it was like, oh, okay. So it's like, here's Cropsy with his flame. And of course he misses his mark, and what happens? Gets an axe in the fucking face and gets burned again. And that's the end of the film, is the killer burning up with an axe in his fucking face. No wonder there wasn't a sequel. This guy wasn't coming back.
They never found his body, but they say his spirit lives in the forest. This forest. A maniac. A thing no longer human. Every year he kills. Right now he's out there watching, waiting. So don't look. He'll see you. Don't breathe. He'll hear you. Don't move. You're dead!
I feel like they left a lot on the table. Like, there, you had how many prominent other characters that didn't have a close call with the killer? We lost... There's 15 minutes without death.
You had Tiger there when they were playing baseball. You had Tiger looking for the ball, and you saw him... He was almost there with the shears, but she left. That'll be fine.
Okay.
There you go.
But you still had Jason Alexander. You still had four or five other kids there. You still had, you know, camp counselors. You still had the head of the camp. Like, all these other people, and I'm like, those could have been potential deaths. We could have hacked our way through here, and they didn't. They kind of blew their load in one scene.
Yes, exactly. The canoe scene is what makes The Burning a sensation in the horror, the early 80s horror world.
Look, I asked for lubricated rubbers. These aren't lubricated rubbers, you understand that?
What am I, Masters and Johnson? You want lubes, buy your own.
Nude, you want to score this?
Five,
ridiculous.
Five. Yeah, like I said, it's nothing out of this world. That really didn't really like anybody in this.
Canoe Massacre. It's got Jason Alexander, your big Seinfeld fan.
We can't talk about
fan.
The Canoe Massacre.
Was in there. I mean, like I said, their kids, they're, a lot of the stuff just bothered me. Like, it's just not, I know it's a movie, but it wasn't anything that I thought, oh wow, this is cool. Definitely would not watch this again.
I feel like this was something that probably was reviewed at the Weinstein trial. Like, you know, it's...
I don't know.
Five?
Yeah, it's...
Thank you, nude.
Alfred's been prowling around the girl's shower.
I only meant to scare her.
You only meant to scare her? Well, you sure as hell did scare her.
Okay. And you take him up for the rec room.
Okay,
come on.
Paul B, score this film.
I'm gonna have to go six.
Oh, thank God.
Six, and that's being generous.
Yeah.
It was one of those films I remember seeing it. I can't remember how old it was when I first saw it, but it was one of those, like, I saw it after Friday the 13th, and it was, oh, let's go see this because it's gonna be so you shouldn't see it. It's supposed to be so gross and vile and disgusting. And it is, but not for the reasons you'd think it would be, because of the raping stuff and, you know, especially now looking at it with fucking Harvey Weinstein involved. But, yeah, it's not a very good film. The effects aren't very good. They're very poor Savini effects. The acting's shitty. It's way too padded. There's a few good scenes. It's not scary. The creature doesn't look very good. It's not a very good film at all.
Looks like a big meatball.
Yeah. Like I said, the fake one they use in Telling the Tale looks better than the real one.
The real one looks like the Toxic Avenger.
It's not very good. If I want to watch a killer in the camp film, I'll go watch Friday the 13th.
There's Sleepaway Camp.
Fuck Sleepaway Camp.
We're doing that one next. Oh, yeah. Sleepaway Camp, just to get under his skin, man.
I'll tell you right now, zero.
You cause any problems for any kid on this camp, I'm going to bust your ass.
Hey, Cult Sensation, score this film.
Oh, I'm going to match Newt's 5, really. This is very much, hey, some people a little while ago made a movie and made a shitload of money off of a shoestring budget. We should totally do that.
Yeah, but this didn't make a lot of money, though.
No. Well, it didn't make any. It's what happens money. This is a bandwagon jump that just fell the fuck off and dislocated a couple limbs. You know how, like, all the people that got killed in the Friday the 13th movies were having consensual sex? Let's just take that out of the equation. This is a very date-raping movie. It really is. And that's not even looking at it through, like, 2023 eyes. this is just uncomfortable. Like, there's just zero chemistry between anybody in this movie.
It's like, forget all the deaths. People are saying no.
But there weren't even that many fucking deaths.
Yeah.
So the overwhelming majority of the deaths in this movie happen in the span of 30 seconds, very quick cuts, with, you know, like a couple little, like, oh wow, that was kind of cool, and then that's it. Out of everybody that died on that raft, I only remember two.
The fingers,
and like the one that ended with the blood dripping down the arm, but I don't even recall.
I think it was a chest.
Very frenetic, and you didn't really get what was going on.
It was like this, two-handed over above them.
was he
floating over the raft? It's a bit weird.
But yeah, it was. I don't know. I'm sure it looked good on paper, and they managed to convince people to give them money to make it. So yay. The Burning, what they should have done with the final print of the movie.
Oh, take it easy, man. What's going on?
It was a face! A horrible face at the window!
Yeah, forget it, girls.
I saw it was there!
Sure as hell ain't nothing out there now.
Brian Stewart?
I should have written my number down, because no one's going to believe I picked this number, but it was 5. For most of this movie...
5!
Yes, thank you. It hovered up a bit and then down a bit. It was down to 4 at one point, but then the raft brought it back up, and then it went down again.
Yeah.
You know what? If their intent was to make a low-budget slasher movie, congratulations, succeeded. They copied, you know, movies that did it better, yep. And they made a watered-down version. What bugs me is that you've got Tom Savini. You spent top dollar to get Tom Savini. You've got all this screen time. You've got a cast of what looked like 50 fucking kids. That hall was packed. Those are all potential gore effect victims, and what just needed to be just a regular slasher film. Your favorite, like one of your favorite slasher films, surprisingly, was, holy crap, Friday the 13th Part 5, because there's like a death every 90 seconds.
No, that's not my favorite.
You just like the body count.
The body count was large.
You could have had, there's 45 minutes where no one dies. And now, I understand, some of the higher marks when I was watching this, I really enjoyed some of the cabin hijinks. I like seeing the guys sitting around smoking, playing cards, you know, throwing...
But that is no horror movie.
I only needed 3 minutes of that.
Instead, that's movie.
That's 45 minutes, though. I mean, we don't need, like we say, the opening to Poltergeist, we only needed 3 minutes to get to know that family. Just that war over the remote controls was all we needed to know. We understood everyone.
Again, that was like 50 minutes before shit hit the fan in Poltergeist 2.
Yeah. But, I mean, we got to understand. But this, it's a camp counselor film. The kids don't need to be that complicated. It just felt like they were establishing the living shit out of this film. The rivalry didn't need half the movie to establish. It's a teen angst movie set in the woods. I mean, 3 minutes of screen time should have gotten it done.
Yeah.
I wanted to see more deaths. If you want to have a serial killer in the woods movie with Tom Savini, with that many people... And most of the deaths take place in 3 minutes.
Yeah, I don't need 45 minutes to be like, I can buy you condoms, Jerry!
That's it.
Yeah.
So, it was, I would say, I wasn't bored. It was fun. It wasn't what I was expecting. For a rated R movie with full nudity and Tom Savini, I wanted more.
Hey, what about this?
What about that? What do you expect? This looks like a houseboat for ants or something.
It floats!
It floats, huh?
Dave,
come James, we seek wood.
I'll give it a 6. I remember it being better than it was. But again, it's been a long time since I've seen it. I just remember that this was a video nasty. Like, this was one of the films that you could almost never find in this area anyway, because it was always banned or it was cut to shit. There's tons of movies out there that were much worse than this one. Probably. Of all the early 80s Friday the 13th clones, this was one of the better ones, even though we're scoring it low. And there's not a lot to tout about it. It's not Savini's best work. Would you recommend our viewers watch this one?
No.
Yes.
No. What?
Brian Stewart says yes. Nick says no. Paul B.
Historically, yes. As a film, no.
Nude?
You can skip
If they want a copycat of Friday the 13th.
If you've seen Friday the 13th 1,000 times and you've got... You want to watch early 80s Killer in the Woods kind of
fare? Then watch Friday the 13th 1,001 times.
Wow. Well, if you want something fresh, something you've never seen before, and you didn't catch The Burning, then I would suggest you watch this at least once.
Yeah, I mean...
It's a clone of... It's not as good, but it's a clone of what you... It's more of what you want.
I mean, historically, for horror buffs, just to see where Savini went, it'd be interesting to see out of sheer curiosity what lured him away. I would say, yeah, but why not watch it? Sure.
Listen to me. There is a killer out there.
Oh, come on, Michelle. Todd put you up to
God damn it! Look at those kids!
My friends, there you have it. Tony Malam's The Burning. Not the highest caliber film we've ever covered, but despite the low scores and high criticisms, there are plenty of reasons to check this film out at least once. The very first Miramax production, all the well-known actors that debuted in this film, the 80s synth score by a musical genius, and Tom Savini horror effects are like pizza. Even the bad ones are good in a pinch. The next time you're feeling like early 80s for dinner and you haven't checked this one out yet, I say give it a shot. I want to thank all our supporting patrons for their pledges that keep this show running. You guys are the best. For the world famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B, and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you, and we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, educating your fears.
But would you need to see it again and again?
Mm-mm.
Would you need to own it?
You're not going to say, play it right now.
Press play. Press play. Do it now. You want to
That's Brian Stewart.
And on that note, fuck y'all.
Bitches leave.
Bitches leave.
I will watch
this. Bitches leaving.
I will watch cheesy cinema. I don't give a shit. I watch Mystery Science Theater, folks. I'll watch anything.
Oh, my.